You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, perfectly pumped pub problem punchers. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 113, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen. Along with me are our club of classy and clever clue-clinging cluckers.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
Exciting announcement for everybody. We are having our second ever Good Job Brain meetup! We had our first meetup earlier this year in Las Vegas when we went to go to Vegas to record our Vegas specials. Mm-hmm. And that was super fun.
It was awesome.
We met a lot of cool people. And the biggest complaint we had was, why don't we have one where we actually live in San Francisco? And so we're going to do that. It's going to be on July 6th on a Sunday. And we're actually going to have our meetup where we play trivia these days at the Soma Street Food Park. It's like a little parking lot area, and they have a bunch of food trucks parked there, lots of cool patio seating, and we reserved a special space for the meetup that is a modified school bus.
Yes. The meetup will be on an actual school bus.
Yes.
We'll take you to Trivia Town.
Check out the site for more info. Please RSVP. It's totally free. All ages welcome. And hope to see you guys there. All right. Without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment. Pop quiz. Hot shot. Don't forget, we have our new buzzers, our morning zoo radio buzzers. let's do a refresher. Chris is boing. Dana has ding dong.
And that's the first time we get to hear the ding dong.
The ding dong debut.
Colin, you have. Ooh, prize fighting
ring. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And then, well, I'm not going to be in this pop quiz, but here's mine. Get your buzzers ready. And here I have a random Trivial Pursuit card. Here we go. Let's answer some questions. Blue Wedge for geography.
What
country is home to Antwerp, Bruges, and Ghent?
Oh, Belgium.
Yay! Yes. Antwerp, we talked about, was the diamond center.
Yes.
Bruges, which is in a movie.
Also a city.
Yes. And Ghent. G-H-E-N-T.
As in the Treaty of Ghent.
Oh, okay. It's all Belgium.
Yeah.
All right. Pink Wedge for pop culture. What jazz saxophonist? Mm-hmm. Saxophonist.
Saxophone.
I like that pronunciation. That was good.
Saxophonist.
Saxophonist.
Sure.
What jazz saxophone player is considered a saint by a church that uses his work, including A Love Supreme, in worship? Colin.
That's John Coltrane.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
The Saint John Will.i.am Coltrane African Orthodox Church was founded in 1971.
Wait, Will.i.am or William?
It's Will-I-am.
Whoa.
I don't.
Interesting. Is that the Black Eyed Peas
guy? Was Black Eyed Peas is Will.i.am.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No dash.
This is Church of Coltrane.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow.
Huh.
All right, Yellow Wedge. What country split into two in the, quote, velvet divorce?
Oh.
Chris.
Czechoslovakia?
Yes!
Yeah.
Good job.
Nice.
Oh!
Purple Wedge. What two punctuation marks are superimposed to create an interrobang? Chris.
A question mark and an exclamation point.
Yes. It is really just question mark over an exclamation point.
Yep.
Note here is useful when you want to ask a question emphatically.
Yeah.
What?
Right, exactly. It's the sound. What?
All right, green wedge for science. What birth defect does Operation Smile work to eliminate, providing reconstructive surgery to children around the world? Dana.
Cleft palate.
Yes, cleft lip and palate. All right, last question.
It's probably
orange
not a good
wedge.
Move for everybody to yell out all at once. Cleft palate!
Everybody.
Right.
Orange wedge, last question. What meal does Denny's describe as a, quote, ham and scrambled egg sandwich with Swiss and American cheese on grilled sourdough? Everybody.
Moons over my hammy.
Yes. Served with your choice of hash browns or grits.
I like how we said it. It was a weird tone, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those things when you order it, you have to, I'll have the moons over my hammy. Oh.
I think there was a dish, I think it was at the Rainforest Cafe or some other place, which is jambalaya, but it's called Jamaican Me Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And so when we went to order, it's like, can we have the Jamaican Me Crazy?
And what did the server say?
Oh, jambalaya? Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what is that? Is it the jambalaya?
All right, good job, brains. So today's show, we've been asked a lot by a lot of listeners to share our kind of our strategies, stories, and information when we play pub quiz. And we actually still do play pub quiz every single week for the last half a decade.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's
wow.
When you say it like that.
Half a decade. And so today's show is a little bit different. Our topic is about pub quiz. History of pub quiz, some factoids, but also some of the stuff that we think will help you prep for a pub quiz or a quiz bowl. We're going to make this a two-parter. This is part one, and next week we're going to have part two because we just have a lot of stuff to share with you guys. So today is part one, prep for pub trivia. We're going to the pub.
So I think the first time I played pub quiz was in college here. We used to go to a place in San Francisco called Mad Dog in the Fog. Mm-hmm. They're still there.
That's a great pub game.
No, yeah. I played for the first time there, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I was interested, when did pub quiz become a thing?
Yeah.
You know, like, because I never really remember hearing about it too much before the 90s. And, you know, sure enough, as you might guess, it is a quintessentially British phenomenon.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It seems right. It seems appropriate. Yeah. They kind of trace the rise of pub quiz to really just to the 1970s. And the story is that the origin of organized pub leagues was a way to bring in patrons on otherwise slow nights. Mm-hmm. You know, midweek nights, you know, maybe a Tuesday or Wednesday when there wasn't a lot going on in the pub. And here was something organized you could show up for. You could usually win beer or, you know, prizes redeemable at the local pub. And there was one company in particular. They claimed to be sort of the creators of the pub quiz phenomenon, which might be overstating it a little bit. But there was a company called Burns and Porter, which in the mid-70s really kind of organized sort of the first cross-pub organized competitions multiple pubs are playing from the sort of the same style and set of questions.
They standardized.
Yeah. And they were phenomenally successful at it. But certainly, like, quizzing and sort of quizzing people at pubs is an old, old, old tradition. It really seems like the rise of Trivial Pursuit in the 1980s really kind of drove it even more. It just, trivia was, it had become a thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just a way to bring in patrons into a slow pub anymore. It was an attraction in its own right. And then really kind of came into the U.S. in the 1990s. So it really was sort of...
Not that long ago.
It really was not that long ago, yeah, when it really kind of just took off in the States was, and, you know, the rest is history, I guess.
It makes us go to the bar, like, every week.
Yeah.
Think of all the things we could have accomplished.
I know. I think about that sometimes.
See, I prefer
what
to think
if I worked
of
on
it...
my novel every Tuesday?
Yeah.
For 3 hours.
Right, yeah.
3 hours.
3 hours.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
A lot of
but
time.
You don't get to hang out with your friends while you work on your novel, right?
Okay, let's see. Let's say we went to pub quiz for the last, let's just say 5 full years. Every week.
Oh, God. Let's not think about
weeks.
It for real.
52 weeks times 5, and then times 3, because it takes 3 hours during pub. Oh.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hours.
Well, you know.
I prefer to think of it also as a way of legitimizing all of the time I've spent absorbing otherwise useless information.
Yeah. Right,
It's definitely affirming.
Yeah.
My family was always like, oh, Chris is, it's like, you know, Chris, who played the youngest daughter on Family Ties? This is the stuff that Chris knows.
Tina Yothers.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, Tina Yothers. And it's like, see, he knows all this stuff.
Yeah. And I'm like,
I never made any special effort.
No, I just know.
It just goes in and it doesn't come out.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, go back to your room now.
That's all.
That's all we need from you.
You disgust us. So I made a quiz for you guys about pubs, so just to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Where does the word pub come from?
Oh, 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 oh.
Oh, but I had my buzzer first.
Yeah, all right. That's why he's ready.
It's a public house.
That's right.
A house where the members of the public can come in and drink things.
Yeah, versus a private house.
Right.
It's true. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. No, it's true. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. So what's a tide house?
Oh.
How do you spell that?
T-I-E-D.
Oh, tide house.
A tide house. There's one here, isn't there? The tide house. I think there is.
So a tide house is a pub that is required to get some of its beer from a particular brewery.
Oh, interesting.
It's tied to a brewery.
Tied
yes.
to a brewery.
In other countries, that's more common.
Like Gordon Biersch.
A brew pub and a pub are not the same thing, by the way. A pub is not a brewery. Like, right. doesn't have the brewery.
Brew pub has the brewery yeah. part. Right. So 21st premises. Amendment is a brew pub.
Yeah.
Magnolia is a brew pub.
It is.
Okay.
Pyramid.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
In historical Roman times, this word was used to describe a public contractor or tax farmer. It's come into use now to describe a pub landlord. What's the word?
Is it a publican?
Yes, okay. A publican.
Oh.
Publican.
Oh, I was going to say bartender.
No. It's a good word. Yeah. So this has come up for us before in pub trivia. I just want to see if you guys remember.
Oh, no.
What's the most common pub name in the UK?
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Karen?
Red Lion.
Yes, the Red Lion.
Yeah, good job. We went back and forth between the Plow and Stars and the Starry Plow. We settled on one of them and didn't work out.
What five-letter word is used to describe your nearby pub? Chris?
Your local.
Yes.
Ah, oh.
Yes.
How many ounces are in a British pint?
Oh, man.
Is it different than an American?
It is different.
So is a British pint, is that an imperial pint? Is that the same thing?
I'm not sure. It's different than a U.S. pint.
Is it 20?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then what's American?
16.
Oh.
So it's a 16 heartier pour.
To a pound, to a pint, and a pint's a pound the world around, as right. they say.
And then,
wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like, that's pretty good if you came up with it.
A pint of water, it weighs about a pound.
And then this one is tangentially related to pubs, but I thought it was a good trivia one. And that is, what is the most popular international beer brand?
Oh, I feel like we've heard this before.
Colin. I guess Heineken.
No.
Budweiser.
No, I'll give you a hint. It's not American.
Most popular international beer brand.
Yeah.
Is?
Beer brand.
I don't know.
It is in China.
Oh.
Snow.
Oh, that's right.
Snow beer.
Hugely popular, but maybe only in China. It seems like a very good trivia question.
That is it.
Snow beer.
Yeah. Snow beer.
Remember that.
All right. Good job, you guys.
All right.
Well, you can't have pub quiz without pubs, and you can't have pubs without beer. I guess you could have a pub without beer, but it would be pretty depressing.
I wouldn't go.
Yeah, I wouldn't go at all. One of the things that you can order when you go to a traditional Irish or British pub is often a black and tan.
Yeah.
A black and tan, which is a lager beer, probably Bass Ale or Harp, maybe something else, but those are very common. And then they are able to fill the pint glass up halfway with that and then fill the rest of it with Guinness because the density of the two beers is so different that the Guinness will sit on top of the lager beer and you will have a very clear demarcation in the glass. You cannot do it the other way around. The lager, if you were to put it on top, would just sink into the Guinness.
Then you have a muddy pint.
Yep. And that's why you have to...
Technical term?
Oh, yeah, no. I just came up with that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I do real, I do have a list of terms here that are not actually straight out of Colin's head that refer to beer cocktails of that nature, sometimes layered. So the Oxford Companion to Beer says...
That's a book.
I always find these books.
Sounds super legit. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Yep.
Says the first known usage of the phrase... black and tan to describe Guinness sitting on top of a lager was in 1889, but it also notes that patrons had been ordering drinks of this nature for at least 100 years prior. So this goes back to before even the founding of America, which is not that long ago.
No.
Now, as I started researching this, looking up, you know, black and tans and other various drinks of that nature, I kept seeing articles that kept saying one thing about the drink called black and tan. Do not, under any circumstances, go to Ireland and order a black and tan.
Why?
Not that they have any issue with the drink in and of itself. Nothing about, you know, the purity of Guinness or anything like that. It is is because in Ireland, the phrase black and tan was the name for the British force that fought against the Irish Republican Army. So they don't have a very good reputation in Ireland. And when you say black and tans, that's what people think of. Right.
Right.
So in Ireland and also elsewhere, that particular drink is known as a half and half.
Oh, okay.
So that is what you order, and that is what you will get. There are...
cream. This is the pint of cream. Yeah.
I would have
one half and half.
No. Now, there's a lot of other beer and something else combinations, and so this will be maybe a quiz. Maybe I'll just tell you what it is, because some of this stuff is a little bit like these terms are kind of interchanged and used for different things at different bars, and we'll kind of get into that. So what is, if you were to go today, before anybody edits it, and go to Wikipedia and look at the entry for a black velvet. Does anybody know what that would be? Mm. Karen, you honked.
I assume anything with black is probably Guinness, right?
Yes.
Because of the color. Yeah. I think black velvet is Guinness and champagne.
It is. Oh. Yeah. Black velvet technically is.
So gross though.
Guinness and sparkling white wine.
Okay. Yeah. So not necessarily champagne.
Right.
Champagne.
Right.
Okay.
Champagne-like.
So it's like a brunch Guinness, you know? Yeah.
Like a mimosa.
Yeah.
Like a Guinness mimosa.
Pretty much, yeah. Now also, what would a snake bite be? Karen again.
Snake bite is similar, but I think it's Guinness and my favorite, cider.
Yes.
Yeah.
A snake bite is Guinness and cider.
Apple, snake, Garden of Eden.
Yeah, yeah. Huh.
Yes, maybe. Right. Now, some people will say that a black velvet is Guinness and cider, right? And some people will say that a snake bite is Guinness and a certain type of cider, or maybe a snake bite is Bass and a certain type of cider. I don't know. But the two strongest General. Definitions that I found were black velvet was beer and champagne, and the snake bite is Guinness layered on cider.
Okay.
I just do Guinness on Guinness myself. Yeah. I've tried
black
some of these.
Black.
What's that called?
Again, the black and black.
Yeah, the black and black. Or, I find that once I get to the end of the Guinness, I don't want it to change beers. I just want to keep going. And Guinness all the way down. Now, here is something that I found. I don't quite expect you guys to know this, but because I didn't know this. But a diesel. This seems to be connected very much with like British university students seem to get this a lot.
The diesel.
So the diesel is a snake bite with blackberry currant stuff in it.
Huh.
And it's purple.
Cassis, right? It's called Cassis.
Yeah, okay.
They have it out of the albatross.
Oh, yeah? But it's like the color of Grimace.
Huh. Okay. The color of Grimace.
Interesting.
But now you all know what I'm talking about.
Purple drink.
Mm-hmm. A shandy.
Oh.
Colin.
That's beer and lemonade.
Beer and lemonade.
What?
May also refer to beer and like sparkling lemonade or beer and ginger ale also might be considered to be
that sounds delicious.
Shandy.
It's such
tasty.
A good summer drink. Yeah. Oh, so tasty. Yeah.
Good for kids. The and I have actually had this next one once and it was an ill-advised purchase.
Okay.
It sounded good at the time. A red eye.
Oh.
Red eye.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Is it, it like a shot of espresso in beer?
No, that sounds weird. A red, I don't know. That could be a thing. A red eye. It is the color that is mentioned in the
Tabasco?
Nope.
Red wine.
Nobody can even contemplate this.
Blood.
It is human blood. It is beer and tomato juice.
Oh,
it is advertised as a hangover cure.
Is it Clamato?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like a Michelada.
Sort of like a Michelada. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But beer and tomato juice is known as a red eye.
Okay.
A blacksmith. Blacksmith.
Smith. Guinness, so Guinness and Smith.
And
Wesson? No. Smith.
You're so close to it.
Smithix?
Smithix.
Ah.
What's Smithix?
Smithix.
It is an ale, would you say?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
That's a cute name.
Yeah, blacksmith. Yeah, right?
Ah, that does make sense.
Yeah. And the final thing that I had on my list was the Michelada, which could be a a beer with lime juice in it mm-hmm. could be a Michelada, but you also see red ones. And typically that's my understanding is that it's not so much tomato juice as it is Tabasco yeah. sauce.
It might be both.
It certainly could be.
I have had both.
But Michelada refers to, I think, a range. Yeah, there's salt rimmed on the glass. Yeah, right. It refers to a sort of a range of things.
Yeah, kind of just like a family of like beer cocktails, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
And, of course, I asked our listeners on Twitter and Facebook about their winning tactics when they play pub trivia. I'm going to share some with you guys. Andy said, check current affairs if the quiz happens to fall on the same week as a sports tournament or land on the anniversary of a big event or holiday. You probably should expect some questions about that topic. So,
definitely.
Oh, they've changed the title of our round one at Pub Trivia to like the first round is now general knowledge and this week in the news, basically.
And we have a tweet of the week.
Tweet of the week. Yeah.
Always read through kind of the first page of main news sites, CNN, BBC, especially if something is kind of wacky, usually will make it in. Like, you know, 87% of women do this wacky thing. Right.
Why did this guy get kicked off an airplane? Yeah, whatever, you know.
There was
the emergency landing the other day because of the dog poop. That's going to show up.
Oh, man, that totally is. Yeah. Did you hear about this? So somebody had a big dog on an airplane. Maybe it was like a seeing eye dog or a helper dog or something like that. Because it's the only time I've ever seen like... I've seen a dog on an airplane with its own seat. But anyway, somebody had a big dog on an airplane and it pooped on the plane a lot.
It was making people vomit.
Yeah. It was. Oh, it was taking big poops and it was making people very
upset. Right in the aisle.
And they didn't have the materials to clean it up and the plane had to make an emergency landing.
Because of the dog?
Yeah. Dog poop. So that's probably going to come up in trivia.
Yeah,
that's
going to happen.
Totally right.
Craig says, look carefully at the handouts and the question sheets. You might get some clues. And we definitely have done this before. One of our pub quiz rounds, we always have like a little sheet that's like pictures of people or things, and you have to identify them visually. And sometimes we don't really read what they're asking. And
We get too excited
and we're like, oh, that's Megan Mullally. We'll write it down. But then it asks what character or something.
Right, or what movie.
What show is she
from? That really isn't a tip. That's just don't be a moron.
Sometimes they have like the photo credits on there.
Yeah.
And that's really helpful.
That can be very helpful, absolutely. Yeah. Especially when it's like the year that the photo was taken, you know, the year of the copyright. Yep.
Yeah, like sometimes Library of Congress, and you're like, okay, maybe that's not like a super...
This is not Andy Garcia. This is probably a president. Yep.
And honestly, I've seen some teams with little flashlights.
Yeah.
You might find it helpful to bring a magnifying glass.
There is one team at our last pub that we played at that would always have a magnifying glass with them. Yeah.
Oh, yep. we had a picture of a young Petraeus, I think. Couldn't really recognize him because it was a young picture of David Petraeus. But then you looked at the name tag on the uniform. Yeah. It was so tiny.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I think it's Petraeus.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah. So always keep your eyes open for that.
Yeah. We had Buzz Aldrin wearing a Buzz Aldrin name tag. They sometimes just forget those things. But use every piece of information that you possibly can.
This is very interesting. Cody Weber on Twitter wrote in and said that we have, quote, pulling rank, which means if you change your team's answer, if it's right, then the whole team buys you a drink. If you're wrong, you buy everyone else. We have a similar system.
We don't drink that much, but we have, so it wouldn't work for us, but we do have a similar system.
Yeah, Dana invented it.
If we don't put your answer and your answer turns out to be the right answer, how mad will you be?
Yeah.
And so then what we do is we write down on a scale of 1 to 10, how mad would you be? And then the person with the higher number gets it.
Yeah.
It's worked pretty well.
Yeah.
It was really like to separate the two things of how confident are you that you're right, separated from how mad would you be if we didn't put that answer.
Because those are not always the same. It is not a scale of how confident are you in the answer.
Right.
Because a lot of people come in thinking, I'm super confident, but, you know, forgetting a year or something, and they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
So it's how mad are you scale. And it works well because sometimes we get wrong and you're like, okay.
You know what? I was only a 3.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not that mad.
Right, yeah. Right. So. And then you're committing yourself to not being mad either.
It's true. But if you're, like, really high and the other person's slightly higher, you're like, all right, you better be.
Yeah. But I got to tell you, learning exactly what you said, finding out by doing this over and over and over again, like learning what you don't know is really important. For us, it's always there's 99% and there's 100%.
Yeah.
If we say I am 100%, that's a clue for everybody else to be like, back off because this is definitely 100%. 99% is I'm pretty sure I'm going to fight for it. I definitely think this is the right answer, except I know enough to say that I don't know it.
Yeah. And that's why it's like, well, how angry would you be if we didn't go your way?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If you have quiz files coming up or a quiz bowl, not necessarily just tied to a pub quiz, here are some things that you definitely should look into. Periodic table of elements.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You don't have to memorize all of it, obviously. The first 10 elements are handy to know. Also know the common elements that have weird names.
Right.
So like lead is PB.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Tin is SN. Gold is AU. Silver AG. So that kind of stuff. And
we're getting pretty close to just know the whole thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say also the elements that make up our world. Like in the ozone layer, all that stuff. Yep. Just knowing kind of the percentages of stuff.
Have we not done we haven't done our mnemonic on that yet.
Oh, yeah,
we?
You made one.
Yeah, I did make one. Yeah, because we had a question about the major components of Earth's atmosphere, or the air that we breathe. The mnemonic that we came up with was, nice outdoor air composition, nerd. Which is nitrogen, oxygen, argon, carbon dioxide, neon.
Yeah. Which is, you wouldn't think argon and neon would be in the mix, but they're in there.
I personally always like to study the Academy Awards, you know, just knowing the years for the major movies. 007, like all the James Bond. Those seem to come up a disproportionate amount.
Yeah, because it's British. Yep.
I guess that's true.
And there's so many of them, and it just generates trivia, and, you know, who played Q,
who played Anne. Right. Mm-hmm. Which one's Roger Moore, Sean Connery.
Right.
Oh, do you guys know what Q stands for?
Yeah, Quartermaster.
Quartermaster.
We had that on a...
Dana nailed it. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Sports championships, you know, just who won World Series, Super Bowls, those kind of things. Presidents always come in, at least here in America. And these are evergreen. You know what I mean? Like the seventh president is going to be the seventh president forever.
They're not
going to come out with a new seventh president. Yeah.
Olympic sites.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Summer and winter where the Olympics were held. World Cup, probably. Every 4 years.
Flags, Karen. I mean, you are without a doubt our flag maven on the team, but just world flags. Yeah.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
All right, speaking of flags, so my domain in pub trivia usually is dogs in geography. Dogs don't come up that much, but geography definitely does. So here I have a common asked questions or things that will probably come up in trivia or have come up in trivia before. And so get your buzzers ready.
All right.
Hodgepodge of stuff.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Which African country is entirely enclosed by another African country?
Yeah.
Oh.
Dana, hello?
Is it Lesotho?
It is Lesotho. It is surrounded by South Africa.
Or Lesotho, if you prefer.
Oh, it's Lesotho?
Someone complained, I think, the last time we talked about it.
Yeah. All right. How many stars, excluding Union Jack? Union Jack is not counted as a star. How many stars are there in the Australian flag?
Oh, God. We have had this so many times.
4 or 5. It's a cross. There's the Southern Cross.
There's the Southern Cross in there.
And is that the one with the bonus star on it?
I think there is.
So, final answer.
Dana and I will go in together on 6?
All right.
7?
5? 5 to 7? Something like that?
That's horrible.
5. 5. We're going to come down hard on 5.
6.
You're right. It's 5 and the bonus star.
It's Southern Cross plus the Commonwealth star, which I guess is the bonus star.
Yeah.
Southern Cross has 5 stars.
Huh. Okay.
Not 4.
Okay.
So okay. 5 plus 1.
Okay.
And how many points are in each star?
Wait,
oh. Whoa.
Is it not a five-pointed star?
Maybe it is.
Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
Oh, I only ever see them as, like, kind of dots. I never notice what their shape is. Is it 4-point?
I don't know. 4-point star?
Is it, like, a little diamond kind of star?
Let's just go with 5. Maybe.
7. Is that weird?
7-pointed star?
That is weird.
You don't see a 7-pointed thing.
Yeah.
Anymore.
So, huh. 6 stars, 7 points. Yeah.
6 stars, each star has 7 points.
Okay.
Oh, all right. So it's like a burst, like a banner.
It's more like a burst.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
All right. Which U.S. state was first to join the Union? Colin.
That's Delaware.
Correct.
Okay, all right. Which, also the first state quarter.
Which is... Oh, okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's a good way of remembering it. Which was the last continental state to join the Union? We know Alaska and Hawaii are the last two, but continental. Colin.
That is Arizona.
Whoa!
Wow.
Yeah. I study my states. Yeah. They don't change.
I don't know. Last one, Arizona.
Oh, okay.
So throughout history, there are a lot of regions and places that have old names, through colonial times or just different languages. And so here I have let's do a speed round. I'm going to list you the old name. Tell me what the current country name is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number one, Formosa. Chris.
Thailand. No.
Incorrect.
That's Taiwan.
Taiwan. Formosa. Portuguese for beautiful.
Oh.
Cathay.
Oh.
Colin.
Is that Singapore?
Incorrect.
Is it? Oh, sorry.
India?
Thailand?
It must be China.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Start it.
Yeah.
I was like, they have an airline.
That was gonna be so easy.
Okay.
All right.
Still in Asia. Still in Asia.
All right.
Siam.
Oh.
That's Myanmar. Burma.
Incorrect.
Mm. Thailand.
Siam.
Of course. It's Thailand.
Yeah.
Of course.
I said that earlier.
Yeah.
Didn't count. Bohemia. There are two current countries, so I accept either.
Yeah. It's not Czechoslovakia. I'm going to kick myself. I can't remember.
It's Czechoslovakia.
Is it Czechoslovakia?
Czech Republic.
Czech Republic.
Okay. Or Slovakia.
Right. Okay.
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 So old Czechoslovakia together was
good. Wow. All right. This is embarrassing.
Gaul.
Oh.
Everybody.
France.
Correct. Burma.
Myanmar.
Yep. All right. You can name any of these two countries, but this region was called Rhodesia. There's North Rhodesia and South Rhodesia, but you can give me either countries.
I'm pretty sure one is Zimbabwe.
Correct. What's the other one?
Is it it's not Tanzania, is it?
Is it Rwanda?
Zimbabwe and Zambia.
Oh, Zambia.
Yeah, on top of each other. Yeah. Zimbabwe is southern Rhodesia. Zambia is northern Rhodesia.
I think I've had that question for you guys on a quiz before.
Yeah, you did.
It's embarrassing.
I just know the Rhodesian Ridgeback is a kind of dog.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Persia.
Iran.
Correct. Mesopotamia.
Iraq.
Yes! Very good.
Ah, okay.
All right, so we know there is the international dateline in the Pacific. Yeah. The first country or region that experiences New Day, we've talked about, is Kiribati or Kiribati. Kiribati. Mm-hmm. What is the last place that experiences a day?
Whoa.
Oh.
Chris.
Hawaii?
Incorrect.
Alaska?
It is Alaska. Specifically is the Attu Island in Alaska. Mm. All right. This is interesting. The point farthest from the Earth's center is located where?
Farthest from the Earth's center.
So okay. Atop a mountain?
Yes, it's on top of a mountain.
Okay. Well,
is it Mount Everest or no?
Not Mount Everest.
Interesting.
Because the Earth bulges around the equator.
Yes. Whoa. The Earth is not a perfect sphere.
It's not a perfect
sphere.
So, of course, your widest point is around the equator.
Uh-huh. Mm.
And so there is the Chimborazo Summit in Ecuador.
Oh.
Very, very close to the equator, and it's a tall summit. So that place is the furthest point from the Earth's center. Is that cool?
That's a good one.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's a good one. Sphere. Yeah, because I think a lot of people would say Everest.
Chimborazo.
Chimborazo.
Like paparazzo for chimps.
Right. Oh. Yeah. That's cute. Bonzo, over here, Bonzo. Over here, Bonzo. Bonzo. Bonzo, did I see you with Katie Holmes the other day, Bonzo?
Get out of my face.
He's throwing a poop.
It's all over Chimp Weekly at the supermarket. Monkeys just buying it.
Chimps.
Mm-hmm. They're just like us.
One last thing I found that was cool. Have you guys ever heard of the continental pole of inaccessibility?
What?
What?
No.
Basically, it's defined
as... Is this like the friend zone?
It's kind of. Okay. It's the place in every continent. It's the place furthest from any ocean. So
inaccessible place.
Yeah.
Got it.
From oceans.
That's cool.
Okay. Not including lakes or other bodies of water. Continental pole of inaccessibility.
Huh.
Do you have the list of them?
I do.
Is Australia, I think I heard, is Australia Alice Springs?
Yes.
Okay. That's the only one
really?
I know.
You just know that Alice Springs is right smack dab in the middle.
Huh. Yep.
Okay.
Africa, it's close to the tri-point of the Central African Republic, South Sudan, and Democratic Republic of the Congo. So it's kind of like in between all three. In North America, it is in South Dakota.
Oh, okay. Okay.
In South America, it is obviously in Brazil because that occupies a lot of the landmass. Hmm. All right, and that's my geo quiz.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a quick ad break. A word from our sponsor.
Hey, Matt, did you know that wombats poop cubes?
Nope, never heard that before.
Did you know the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland, Ken?
I didn't know, nor do I care.
Neil, did you know that Liechtenstein is the only doubly landlocked country in Europe?
Jeff, isn't that an American pop artist?
Well, actually, it's both. If you want to learn things like that and more, join us each week on Triviality, a pub trivia-style game show podcast where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Listen in each week to answer general knowledge trivia alongside exciting guests from around the world.
And we're here too.
Join us every Tuesday for new hour-long episodes of Triviality, plus tons of extra theme content on everything from The Office and Lord of the Rings to science and geography.
And sometimes we even do sports.
Find us on all your preferred podcast apps and take part in the fun of playing bar trivia without the need to wear pants.
Real mature, Jeff.
Forget it, Neil. It's Triviality.
Are you looking for a podcast that your whole family can enjoy that asks the deep philosophical questions like, do trees fart?
If you are, then you'll love Tumble, a science podcast for kids. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Join us as we explore stories of science discovery, from butts to animals, dinosaurs, astronomy, and everything in between.
You'll love these stories, and you'll learn something new.
Find and follow Tumble Science Podcast for Kids wherever you get your podcasts, or at sciencepodcastforkids.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Job Brain. This week, we're helping you prep for pub quiz.
So going back half a decade from now, Karen, when you first recruited me to join the quiz team, I remember one of your selling points to me was, oh, we need a sports guy.
Right.
And like, to me,
it was just me and Chris.
I was a little nervous, I'll be honest.
Oh, it was me. Yeah, it was me, Chris, and our friend Rob.
Yes.
That's right.
But none of you guys are sports guys.
We're not sports guys. Yeah. And we needed a sports
guy. Well, Rob knew like New York sports, kind of. I don't know.
We didn't know sports. Yeah. And there was so much low hanging fruit. You know, I mean, many questions.
Just didn't even know what sport.
You know what? You're exactly right. It really. I was a little worried at first, but as I played, it turns out that it is a lot of low hanging fruit. They always.
Well, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure to be like, oh, you're the sports guy. We got a guy. He's the sports guy. It's like, well, it's not like I know everything about sports.
And then it's like, oh, these are very easy questions.
Right.
If you watch sports at all, it's like you have to watch sports. Some.
Yes, it's like if you are aware of sports, you'll get a lot of these. But you're right, it's like video games where they don't go very deep, but there's almost always some sports questions that show up in pub quiz. So whether or not you're a sports fan or not, there are certain things you have to know to compete in pub quiz. So I put together, we can kind of do this half question, half list style. These are the things that as a pub quiz player in America, you really need to know. So Don't overthink a lot of these. Okay, again, well, they don't go very deep. I'm going to, at the end, I'll wrap up with a little when in doubt section.
Okay, all right. Sounds good.
So we'll start off here with what I hope is going to be a simple
any
one.
Any thinking about sports for me is overthinking.
Any amount of thinking. Yeah. This one shows up. What baseball team has won the most World Series? Chris.
The New York Yankees.
It is the New York Yankees. That's right.
And
that's
number
right.
two is Cardinals.
Very good, Karen. Oh. Yeah.
And there's no way that they can catch up anytime soon.
Oh, well, the New York Yankees have 27. The Cardinals have 11. Yeah. So it would take a while.
It would take 11 years. No, even more.
16.
Right, sorry. Oh, sorry. Right, 27, 11. Yeah. Right. It takes 16 years.
But you're right. That's a good one. That one shows up a lot. I think because they figure everyone's going to guess Yankees for the first one. But you're right. St. Louis Cardinals, the second most World Series. We just had this question just last week. So this is a little bit of a refresher. What single player has the most World Series championships? Karen, may not surprise you, he was a Yankee.
Yogi Berra.
Yes. 10 championships.
Wow. I'm just picturing one on each of Yogi Berra's fingers.
Oh, yeah.
All with the Yankees.
All of the rings, yep.
Yep.
A couple, just again, very, very surface in baseball. You've got strikeouts and home runs. You guys probably know what player has the most home runs in Major League Baseball history.
Barry Bonds.
Okay. Barry Bonds, most home runs.
Even with an asterisk?
You know what? I don't want to get into that divisive debate, but yes, he is in the record books as the most home runs.
The asterisk is because of drugs.
The drug asterisk.
Pitcher with the most strikeouts.
Whoa.
Pitcher with the most strikeouts in Major League history. I know you know this name.
Is it Cy Young?
It is not Cy Young, but it's Nolan Ryan.
Oh, yes.
Nolan Ryan.
We've crammed this before.
Oh,
we've
that's
how cram it.
Most strikeouts.
Just as quick as it came in.
So hopefully some of these will stick. Also the most no-hitters. We'll shift over to football here. What football team has won the most Super Bowls? What football team with 6? Karen.
Patriots.
It is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Steelers.
So
stealing a lot of wins.
Sure, there you go.
All the wins.
They've stolen a lot of wins.
Right.
So whatever works.
Oh my God.
Right. What football team won the first Super Bowl? This one comes up a lot.
That's cute.
We get this one a lot. They actually won the first two Super Bowls.
Oh man.
It is the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, okay.
Green Bay Packers. Right. And the Super Bowl trophy is actually named the Vince Lombardi Trophy. He was their coach. I don't know if that helps you remember it at all. We'll stick with the individual stats of football. Touchdowns. So there's who scored the most touchdowns and who's thrown the most touchdowns. So we'll start with this. What quarterback has thrown the most touchdown passes in NFL history?
Tom Brady.
Not a bad guess. It is a modern era quarterback. It is Brett Favre.
Oh, okay. Brett Favre.
There's something about Mary.
Yeah.
He may be passed by Peyton Manning if Peyton Manning keeps playing. Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. Favorite thrower.
Okay. Sure.
And the player who has scored the most touchdowns, he's a wide receiver. He was Jerry Rice. You guys know these names.
I know the names, but they're just kind of in a punch bowl in my mind. Like I would just pick one out at random.
And that's, you know what, that's, you're halfway there. Like if you have the, like, well, when in doubt, Jerry Rice, Brett Favre.
Yeah. I went on a Nike run with Jerry Rice.
Oh, did you?
Huh. Yeah, in the city. A couple people, and we went running with him, so he runs.
He runs. You went on a run with him. He runs to catch the ball.
And he caught first.
Yeah. Brett Favre throws it far down the field.
There you go.
Get it to Jerry, who runs with Terry, sure. catches the ball. Sure. Yeah, okay. Whatever gets you to sleep at night. Yeah,
Whatever works. We'll switch to basketball here. What basketball team has won the most NBA championships?
Chicago Bulls.
It is the Boston Celtics. Larry Bird contributed to many of those.
Okay.
Yes, 17 championships for the Boston Celtics.
All right.
This one will come up as well. He's a Hall of Fame player. What single player has won the most NBA championships?
Jordan.
Not Jordan. It was Bill Russell. Who was on those Celtics teams. He has 11 championships.
That name has not trickled out of basketball trivia into my punch bowl.
It didn't go in the punch
Name was not even in the punch bowl.
All the papers.
Yeah.
He was more active in the 50s, 60s, so he was a little bit of an older player. Right. all right, well, we'll stick with the basketball player.
He doesn't have his own Sega Genesis game. I have never heard of the man.
That's right.
I've got some Michael Jordan trivia. I hope you have heard of Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard of Michael Jordan, I just don't know what to tell you.
He was in Space Jam.
Yep. He played baseball.
So Michael Jordan, I've noticed that they'll come at this question a lot kind of from the other direction. Well, they'll ask some, you know, tidbit about him. So remember the rule of three. Michael Jordan and the rule of three. Okay? So we'll often get the question, how many times did Michael Jordan retire?
Three times.
Yes, he retired twice from the Bulls, once from the Washington Wizards. Sometimes we'll get, this player was drafted third overall in the 1984 draft. Michael Jordan.
Okay. Is that a big deal?
It was a big deal in retrospect now because he went on to establish himself as probably the greatest player in history.
He should have been first.
Yeah.
This may be a little too inside basketball. Number one was Hakeem Olajuwon that year, a name you may have heard. And, you know, he was a solid, solid pick. The controversy was more that Sam Bowie was chosen number two. And I'm guessing you guys have never heard of Sam Bowie.
Not impunishable.
Exactly. No. Right. Which is they chose him over. They could have chosen Michael Jordan. Right. And then the last rule of three is that he had two sets of three-peat championships. So he won three in a row from 91 to 93, retired, came back, won another three from 96 to 98.
I wish he had three-peats.
Three sets of three-peats. Yeah. That would be nicer.
The turkey.
We get this one a lot, and I think it's easy, but for some reason, the quizmasters love to ask.
Sir.
Thanks.
Julius Irving was better known in basketball as
Dr. J.
Dr. J. Julius Irving. Yep, that one, they like that one a lot.
They do.
We don't get a whole lot of hockey and NHL questions. They really kind of stick to the big three American sports. But this one has come up several times, which is they'll say, can you name three or four of the original six NHL teams, which were sort of the oldest six teams for years and years and years before they expanded?
Let me see.
Okay. So we'll say three. Just name three.
Detroit Red Wings.
Detroit Red Wings are one.
Rangers.
The New York Rangers are another one.
One more. Let's say Philadelphia Flyers.
No, unfortunately not the Philadelphia Flyers.
Pittsburgh Penguins.
Nope.
The Montreal somebodies.
Yeah, the Montreal
Habs.
The Habs, the Canadiens, if you prefer. Yes. So the original six NHL teams. Again, hopefully some of this sticks. Boston Bruins, Detroit Red Wings, New York Rangers, Chicago Blackhawks, Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Montreal Canadiens. So, you guys know, of course, the name of the trophy given out in the
Stanley
NHL.
Cup.
It is the Stanley Cup. The team that has won the most Stanley Cups is the Montreal Canadiens. This is another when in doubt moment. We get, you know, our quiz league, for whatever reason, asks us a lot of English Premier League soccer questions.
I feel like we get a lot of these.
Yeah.
So our rule is when in doubt, Manchester United.
Right?
If it's not Manchester
or
United,
Arsenal.
Put Manchester City.
Right.
And if
right.
it's not one of, if he definitely not one of those, Arsenal or Liverpool.
Yeah. As it
there
turns
are
out,
no other teams.
The team that has won the most English Premier League titles is Manchester United.
Yay!
Yes. Yes.
Ding, 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 ding. And I know
we've been called Manchester United of pub trivia.
we were called,
but not
that.
But because they were the evil empire.
Right. Yeah. You know, we had to spend a lot of time getting our butts beat at trivia.
Yeah.
You know,
we didn't start out great. Just so everybody knows, like, the first couple years were pretty
rocky.
Pretty rough.
We were happy to get like
the small team prize.
Yeah, small team prize, which is teams under four people.
Yeah.
That was our goal.
Yeah.
We didn't even make it on the board most of the time.
Right.
Just so everybody knows.
Yeah.
So just to wrap up very quickly, when in doubt, if it's a baseball question, go New York Yankees. If it's a player, go Babe Ruth. If it's a football question, you want to go the Dallas Cowboys, San Francisco 49ers, Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Cowboys and the 49ers were not the answers to either of your...
This is why this is a when in doubt. This is a last resort if you don't know.
Right.
If it's basketball, Michael Jordan shows up a lot. Wilt Chamberlain, if it's a player. Mm-hmm. And if it's a team, Boston Celtics or LA Lakers, always a good guess. If it's hockey, just go Montreal Canadiens. If it's soccer, just guess Manchester United. So again, these are very broad stroke rules here. At the minimum, I'd suggest knowing like who's won the most titles in the major sports. That one comes up a lot. So hopefully
this would have been helpful in our early days.
Yeah.
I mean, just having the when in doubt, just go with this. Yeah. To even name a team.
To even be able to think of the name of a team.
That was like an achievement. Like, it was a stretch.
Right.
Chris and I, the two old of us, days.
Oh, yeah. We always say the only time we ever got a zero on a round of trivia was me and Karen alone in a round of sport. A big, fat zero.
Didn't you guys say you just put Alex Rodriguez as the answer to every question?
Not even.
No, we tried.
Just Rodriguez. I wasn't even sure of the first name.
Yeah. So you should just probably find a sports person. If you're not the sports person, and there's nobody, a sports person on your team, you should get a sports person for your team. It's really hard to, like, cram sports.
If none of those questions sounded easy to you, you need a sports person on your team. Yeah.
I was starting to sweat, and then I was like, wait a minute, Colin's here. I was like, Colin, do it.
And that's our show. That is the end of part one, how to prep for pub trivia.
Part the first.
Lots of stuff to take in.
Near and dear to our hearts.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this will help you, guys. If we can just help one person on one question, that'll all be worth it. and stay tuned for next week for our part two. And you can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And thanks to our sponsor, Squarespace. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.